This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The high-profile president and CEO of the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center is finally speaking publicly about what he's calling his, quote, lapse in judgment. That lapse was revealed last month when an anonymous letter was written to the BI Board of Directors. It claimed that Levy was involved in an improper relationship with a female staffer, a woman Levy himself hired, then helped negotiate a $30,000 severance package for her when she left the hospital. The board fined Levy $50,000 for showing poor judgment, but the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center board also declared its continuing confidence in Levy's leadership of the hospital. Paul Levy's reputation as a reformer and champion of transparency and accountability has suffered, and when I spoke with him a little earlier, I asked him if he understands how the hospital has suffered in the wake of this scandal as well.
What I've seen in talking to the staff is that some people, for some people, this hasn't been a big issue and have been very supportive. Other people are upset. They're angry at me. They feel a violation of trust, and I feel that that's legitimate and that they have a right to expect me to try and make it up to them over time.
Mm-hmm. Now, the public face of all these events happened when an anonymous letter was written to the board of directors at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. And soon after that, you actually gave an interview to the Boston Globe where you said that for years, senior staff and board members at the hospital had warned you about this relationship, but for reasons you didn't fully understand, you ignored those years of warning. Do you understand those reasons better now?
Well, I've been thinking about it a lot, and I think what was going on during that period is, I want to say this with some immodesty, I was doing a pretty good job, and the hospital had gone from being in deep trouble, almost out of business, to being very successful financially in terms of patient care and all the things that are important to our public obligation. To patients and their families. And so as I go back and say when these points were raised with me about the relationship, I think I just dismissed them, saying, well, why does that matter? That's my personal life. That doesn't have anything to do with my job performance. It didn't have anything to do with my friend's job performance, which, as I say, she was highly qualified and she did an excellent job. And so I think I just kind of dismissed it and said, well, why does that matter? And it matters because people in the hospital were feeling resentment. They were feeling distracted by it. It was creating an impression that was not necessary and not appropriate.
Paul Levy, you've also said in the past days that you're hoping people can get past this infraction. And I suppose one way of doing that, of helping people to get past that infraction, would be to resign your position as CEO of Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. But you've said that you will not resign. Have you considered it, even for a moment, for the sake of the hospital itself?
I have not considered resigning. First of all, because although I agree that I made a mistake, I don't think that it offsets what I can still bring to the hospital and to the people who work here. I've also been told by many people who work here that it would actually be more disadvantage to the hospital and deleterious to the hospital for me to leave than for me to stay.
The board has determined that there was no violation of law or policy in your actions, and it has expressed its continued confidence in you. But at the same time, it's also asked the Attorney General's office to investigate. Do you agree with that decision?
Well, the board, because they faced an unusual governance issue, asked the Attorney General to review how they, as a board, treated the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Did they do a thorough and proper investigation, and were the actions they took reasonable? And they've asked the Attorney General to do that because she is the supervisor of public charities in Massachusetts. And I certainly encouraged the board when that idea came up. I said I thought that would be an excellent thing to do.
This question of charitable funds is also one of the things that lies at the heart of the matter. Do you believe that hospital money was improperly used to hire your friend, this woman, and then provide her with this $30,000 severance package when she left the employment of Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center?
I actually do not think there's an issue of use of charitable funds or inappropriate use of charitable funds. She was hired to do a particular job. She was highly qualified for the job. She did it well. She got excellent reviews from other people who supervised her and from the board of directors of our community hospital. So this is not a question of someone getting paid for work that wasn't done. In fact, she did, by all accounts, she did an excellent job. Likewise, her position was eliminated. When positions are eliminated, people are entitled to a severance. She actually did, by the way, I was not involved in determining the amount of the severance. That was done per the regular human resources policies.
You have apologized to the board and to your employees for, quote, your lapses in judgment. And initially, when this came into the public realm, you refused to talk about it beyond that. And then later, you actually canceled a commencement speech you were scheduled to deliver at Salem State College, saying that it would be a distraction at that moment. But you're speaking out publicly now. So why have you decided to speak out publicly?
Well, it would have been inappropriate for me to speak out before the board had finished all of its review and all of its actions. It really was as simple as that. I know a lot of people were saying, gee, here's a guy who's been pursuing transparency in hospital administration and clinical outcomes, and how come he's not talking about this? Well, I have to admit that was a bit uncomfortable not talking about it for a couple of weeks, but the reason was that the board hadn't finished its work yet.
Mm-hmm. And Paul Levy, last question. I think one of the reasons why so many people inside and outside the hospital were a little taken aback by this whole story is because you do have a stellar reputation in this town for someone who's done very good work at, for example, the MWRA when you headed that organization. And then, of course, at Beth Israel, you're really credited with turning the hospital around. It gave you a great degree of professional and moral authority in the Boston area. So do you feel now that you've lost some of that moral authority and that you're going to carry the burden of this no matter where you go in the future?
Well, I imagine there'll be some residual effect, but the extent to which I'm not the one to answer that question. It's the people in the community who will answer that question over time. All I can say is I'm going to do my best to do a good job for the hospital and the people who work here and the people in the Boston area. And I hope that makes a difference.
Paul Levy, President and CEO of Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, thank you for being with us on Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
And our earlier conversation on plagiarism in college campuses has generated a lot of thoughtful comments online. WBUR.org reporter Andrew Phelps is here with some of those comments.
That's right, and you can see those comments at WBUR.org/Boston and join the conversation. Michael writes, we need to consider lowering the cost of failure. Successful entrepreneurs almost always have failed at least twice before they succeed. That's probably the biggest thing that distinguishes them from the rest of us. We have to teach our kids that trying and failing and trying again is what makes us strong.
Hmm. And Helen chimes in on the changing culture of cheating schools.
Cheating in schools, she comments, schools are complicit in the lack of honesty among students. I taught paralegal studies at a local community college. When I gave a student the failing grade she earned, I was pressured to change the grade by not only the student, but the school. The employer would not pay if the student failed.
And finally, we got another comment at WBUR.org/Boston that asks, curiously, Harvard did not check the transcripts from Andover, much less talked with Wheeler's college counselor, a source schools so important to an institution like Harvard. It's egregious behavior on Wheeler's part, but shows Crimson Admissions is not on top of its game either. Any applicant for school, job, babysitter even needs to be vetted in today's world. Trust, but verify. WBUR.org reporter Andrew Phillips, thank you so much.
Thanks, Magna.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. Our program is produced by Adam Ragusea, Jessica Alpert, and Jennifer Donaldson. Our intern is Megan Dean. Our web reporter is Andrew Phelps. Tim Skog is our technical director. The senior producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin. Iris Adler is our executive producer. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. See you tomorrow at 3 o'clock for more Radio Boston.